Offering? Did we do that? We need to take it now? I'm sorry, I thought we did that. If you're like me, when you hear that song, I think of a children's song. I think of children singing that song in Sunday school. I've seen them do that, and I kind of like that, and indeed it is. The group that you just saw witness on there is Addison Road. And what they did was they asked their fans to video themselves carrying a candle that would represent where they're carrying the light of Christ into the world. And so that's right. John, if you want to pull these lights back up and then shut off the subs as well, too, please. Thank you. So it's just this whole purpose of carrying this candle and this whole thought. And while this little light of mine song may be a children's song, and the scriptural premise is far from it. We've often and readily agreed that our world is increasing in darkness. And years ago, you may remember, if you're as old as I am, there was a commercial that said, "This is not your father's Oldsmobile." Remember that commercial? Some of you, they were trying to promote this youth and this hot rod Oldsmobile. And in many ways, this is not your father's world. Our world has increased in darkness in a generation or two. When I think of just my generation and when I grew up and what I see now, we've talked a lot. There's a decrease in darkness in our world. And while we're increasing in darkness, persecution and ridicule of Christianity is increasing at the same time. We see it on a regular basis that Christianity is being persecuted and really just put down in our country. ABC is currently planning a TV show, and the title is Good Christian, and the last word rhymes with witches and begins with a B. And they're putting in, I guess there's a book out, and they're putting this out, and they see the promos. I saw the promotion for it, and something like, don't let God stand in the way of a good story. And it's just, it's absurd. And, of course, some of the leaders of the country are saying, they would never get away with saying, good Christian or good Muslim, or good black, or on and on and on. So, it's just this persecution, So while we speak of the world increasing in darkness, I believe we have a good understanding what we mean by that. And darkness, of course, represents evil. Darkness is death. Darkness are things hidden. Darkness is secretive and deceptive. And darkness is exactly the opposite of God, whose kingdom is the kingdom of light. God calls us into that. And Scripture has a lot to say about darkness and light. So turn with me this morning to Matthew chapter 5. You'll find that on page 651 in your pew Bibles, if you're heading there. 651 in the pew Bibles, Matthew chapter 5. In Matthew 5 is the beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, and it starts out with the Beatitudes. And I believe over the years we've looked at the Beatitudes in the past, and we get this word Beatitude. It derives from the Latin beatus, which means blessed. And we see it starting out, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who mourn, blessed are the meek. And Jesus talks about that, and very powerful in itself. And its translation is translated blessed or happy. And that's a good translation. Happy, blessed is what it means. But it really means so much more. We've done the depth of the study in the past. When you see Jesus saying blessed are, and he goes on, it has the understanding of, oh, the blessedness of. The blessedness of what God has blessed, it's just the depth of what God is doing. And a study of the Beatitudes reveals that Jesus declares that speaking of the kingdom of God, you are both blessed in the kingdom of God and blessed as a believer in the kingdom of God. You become a blessing. So you're blessed being in the kingdom of God. You're blessed when you follow the things of God. But in that, you become a blessing and a part of God's plan. In the midst of this, Jesus speaking of persecution in Matthew 5 here, and evil, and he declares that in a fallen world, you are his answer by preaching and persevering and preserving his kingdom of truth and light. And so you'll see that God's talking to us this morning. So we'll pick this up in Matthew 5, and we'll start in verse 10 here. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my name's sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its flavor, how shall it be seasoned? It's good for nothing but to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. You are the light of the world. There's many things that are happening here. One, Jesus acknowledges that there is evil in the world and says, you will be spoken evil of, and there is evil all around us. And he acknowledges as well that while there's evil in the world, that you have a reward while you're in this world, but your reward is in heaven. And you will have this reward in heaven. And he links you between heaven and earth. And while things are happening here on this earth that do not glorify God, we can glorify God, and we're tied to him in heaven. And while you may have a reward waiting for you in heaven, and the Bible's clear of that, meanwhile, you are the salt of the earth. You're the light on a city on a hill that can't be hidden. In a dark and decaying world that is getting darker all the time, you are called to season it with godliness and preserve it until Christ returns. So God's encouraging us in it. And in Christ's time, when he talks about salt, for example, salt was a preservative. That's how he preserved food, and that's how he preserved all sorts of things. And it was in a very important commodity. And so they understood what that meant. We talk about salt like it was no big deal, but to them, it was precious and important. And as a believer, you're called to be an avenue of truth and blessing to a lost and dying world. You become God's answer to this lost and dying world through the vehicle of the Holy Spirit that's within you and your Christian light and witness as you share the gospel. And in the midst of a world that celebrates darkness, you as a believer are the light of the world. Literally, God said, if you took, in a sense, I don't want to paraphrase here, but if you took all the believers away, which we believe will happen at some time in the rapture, there's a light of the world will be gone and be nothing but darkness. And think about what light represents. Light represents, for the very least, truth. Light reveals truth. Light is considered an invitation. If you leave a porch light on, it's inviting, isn't it? If you pull up somewhere and it's dark and the light's not on, it's like you're not welcome. You know, it's a sin of standing being welcome. And it's a sign of welcome. The light of Christ in you is not supposed to be hidden or covered. It's supposed to invite. It's supposed to represent. It's supposed to shed light in all this darkness. 5:16 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. Now, you're a smart group. We know we're not saved by works, and we understand that's not what it's saying here. The Bible says a lot about works, and that your light of Christ within you is supposed to shine so much that they go, there's something different about them. They see God in you. They see this change in his light and his truth. The light of God in you should always glorify your heavenly Father. You on earth, shining light and glory to your Father in heaven. But there's that. But there's so much more going on here. So much more that God's trying to tell us in this. And we've said for years, light always overcomes darkness. I mean, you can't overcome darkness without light. And you can't overcome light with darkness. Light always wins the battle. Darkness is a sign of death. You know, in the natural, if you were to stay in the dark all the time with no light over a period of time, you'd get sick and die. If you took a plant and left it in the dark and put no light to it, what would happen to that plant? So light is so important in darkness, and again, the sign of death is a power in light and a unique power of God's light in you. The word says a lot about light and darkness, and I want to look at something really at the beginning. Go with me to Genesis, the very first book in the Bible, of course, chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And watch from the very foundation what God says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, verse 1:1. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was on the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. And what it's saying here is the earth was covered with water, but it was empty, dark, and it was totally useless. It was desolate. When you look at the original meaning here, it had no life in it. It was void and empty and dark. Nothing supported life. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light. And there was light. And God saw the light, and it was good. And God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. In the very beginning of time, God created heavens and earth. And then the first thing he did was speak light into it. And several things that we see in these scriptures here is that God said, His spoken word and his divine purpose was stated. He said, let there be light. God saw. God had divine inspection and satisfaction. He saw it was good. God divided, a divine division, making light and darkness distinct from each other. And God called divine naming of light and darkness. So the understanding of this account of creation that we might think is so simple and just the beginning of the word and almost like Sunday school material, there's so much happening here. It's important to see God's divine purpose, but I want you to see this morning as well his divine process. In the latter part of the chapter, verse 27, God makes man in his likeness and image. But before God made man, we concentrate God made man in likeness and image, we see all that. But I want you to see what happened before that. Before he does that, God is making provision for man. In God's infinite wisdom, he provided for all that man could ever need first. He's a God of provision. Why would we ever doubt God's provision for us today? His nature, Jehovah Jireh, provides for every need of man. And so when you see in the beginning here, what he provided before he ever made man, he had provision for man. He provided for man's health needs. Created in the likeness and image of God, in perfection before the fall, Adam and Eve didn't walk in sickness in the garden, did they? They didn't have raspy throats and all those things that go on that we deal with in this time of year. Health needs. God provided for physical needs, food for man. Man's emotional needs, man and woman for each other, it's very clear. And God provided for our spiritual needs, this daily relationship with him. And God had a divine order, a plan for his creation. And in your thinking, in his thinking of you, he provided everything you needed first. And in his order, he created first what was needed to provide or support what came after. God created food and provision before creating man. And for the food and provision, he created light first. He looked at the sin and he says, you know, this world was dark, empty, without form and void. Nothing was going to grow there. Nothing is going to happen. So before he had, as he had you in mind, as he had man in mind, he said, I have to provide first. And if I'm going to have food and vegetation in his divine order, he has to provide what's going to cause that food and vegetation to grow first. He started with light, and he added after that. Created light first. Light is essential for survival. And then we'll see that God links the natural light with creation with the supernatural. He takes the same process and the same thinking and the same order and takes the Old Testament creation of the world and links it with the supernatural in the New Testament. Turn with me to John chapter 1. You will find that in page 713 if you're looking in your pew Bibles. In John chapter 1. And we'll see something interesting here. And John, you may have noticed it before. John chapter 1 says, in the beginning. Does that sound familiar? Now, understand, this is very purposeful by the Holy Spirit. We'll see this. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. And without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We see again life, light, connected as in creation. Life and light was connected in creation, and now we see light and life being connected in your spiritual salvation in the light of the world that Christ came into the world. And as I said, this is very purposeful on the part of the Holy Spirit. Even in the wording, it's meant, there's a design by design, a close connection between Genesis and John. Genesis, in the beginning, God. John, in the beginning, was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And it establishes here for us the preexistence of the Word, and the Word is Jesus. Verse 14, he said, became flesh and dwelt among us. That before the world was ever created, before it ever came, in the beginning, in the very start, the preexistence of Christ, who is the Word of God, Jesus the Creator. Look at verse 3 here of John 1. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. You know, Jesus says in Matthew, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world by and in Jesus Christ. In him is the life and light of mankind, only through him. When he calls you the light of the world, it's because of him living within you. Jesus, both the life and light of men, shining in the darkness through his word and through you. And it says really that darkness doesn't have a clue. And darkness cannot overcome light. We'll see what it means in a minute. But I want you to understand, we need not fear the darkness of the world. You need not fear the darkness of this world. You have the true light of Christ in you and upon you. And so while the world is increasing in darkness, and we see all this darkness around us, and the more we draw closer to Christ, the more we shudder at the darkness, we fear it not. God is within us. And Bible says, you are an overcomer, and the devil is a liar. Amen? Now, that's better news than what you're reacting to this morning. We're living in a dark world. You are an overcomer because the light of Christ within you. And the darkness can't comprehend it, and the darkness can't overcome it. You become an overcomer, and the devil's a liar, and he continues to lie and continues to spread darkness. But light always overcomes darkness. Just as the natural plants, etc., cannot survive without light, man cannot survive without the light and life of God in and through Jesus Christ. John 1:5 says, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Excuse me. The original language here, comprehended, it means more than just understand it. It's not, you know, you're looking and go, well, the light, you know, darkness didn't understand the light. It means that, but it's so much more. It means the darkness didn't have a clue about the light. Still doesn't. But in the original language where the word comprehend means to perceive or comprehend, but mostly it means to seize upon, to stop, and to conquer. The darkness could not stop the light. The darkness could not overcome the light of Jesus Christ, who is the light and life of men that come into the world through Christ. And darkness can't stop it. Ephesians calls the devil the power of the dark world and says we wrestle against him. But this darkness, this Satan, could not, did not, never will overcome the light of Christ, the living word. And so when we say that you are the light of the world, this little light of mine, you are the light of the world, darkness cannot overcome that light. And therefore I say to you, you're not only an overcomer, but the devil is a liar. Amen? That's the reality of it. So rather than being overcome by darkness, rather than being overwhelmed by all this evil that's in the world, we say we become victorious and we become part of carrying that light of Christ throughout a dark world. That as you go about your business and in your community and in your work and your family and everywhere you go and everybody you talk to, you literally carry the light of Christ within you. God desires to use that and have that light so shine that men glorify God. They see God's glory in you and gives God glory. Rather than the evil one overcoming you, you become an overcomer. Evil one in the darkness cannot seize upon and it cannot conquer the light. It could not understand the light. And the word says that Jesus, the light in Colossians, spoiled, conquered the principalities and powers of darkness by the cross, defeating Satan and making a public spectacle of him. A public spectacle of him? He's a public spectacle of him. See, you're paying attention. Somebody. I mean, he made a spectacle out of him in public. Does that sound better? Triumphed over him victoriously. The light of the world. And light always overcomes darkness, and the word of God will always defeat the darkness of the evil one. John 3:19 tells us the light came into the world, but men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and dark. You see that now. The light came into the world, Jesus Christ, the light of God. But men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil and dark. Ecclesiastes informs us that fools walk in darkness. And Proverbs 4:19 says, the way of the wicked is like darkness. They do not know what makes them stumble. 2 Corinthians proclaims, the devil has blinded the eyes of the world, lest the light of the gospel, the glory of Christ, should shine on them. And then 2 Corinthians says this. God commanded light to shine out of darkness, shining in your hearts the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in Christ. Thanks be to God. Amen? But for the grace of God, you and I would still be in darkness. But for the grace of God, we would still be in darkness. We went to visit our son and his wife last night and looking at some old pictures they had found. And in these pictures, I mean, these are old pictures, you know. And his mother had passed away recently, and he's going through all these old pictures, and there was a picture of me when I went to a Halloween party once. I mean, it was ridiculous. I mean, just looking at it, I dressed up as a werewolf. And people that knew me would look right at me and say, "Who are you? I put all this effort into this darkness because I didn't know Christ." I mean, I hate Halloween now. I hate the darkness of Halloween, but there was a time when I celebrated it. I thought it was funny. Why? Because I didn't know Christ. I didn't understand the light of the world, but thanks be to God, the light of the world came in, shined in my heart through the salvation of Christ. Now he says that I am the salt of the earth, the light of God shines within me. But for the grace of God, you and I would still be in darkness. And instead of darkness, Colossians 1:12 following says this, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in the light. Thank God who has qualified you to be a partaker of the inheritance of the saints in the light. He has delivered you from the power of darkness and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins. He has delivered you from the power of darkness, translated you, carried you. It's one thing to be delivered from the power of darkness, but he said, I've done more than deliver you from this dominion of the darkness. I've taken you and put you into the kingdom of light, the Son whom I love. And we have redemption through his blood and forgiveness. The kingdom, the Son of his love, the kingdom of light. You've been delivered, set free, the bonds of darkness broken, the power of Satan, his dominion over you, broken. A child of God has no business stumbling around in the dark. As a child of God, you should always walk in the light as he is in the light, overcoming darkness all around you as you go. Literally, it's as if we took this room and it was midnight, and it was pitch dark out, and we didn't have a single light in here. You stood in the middle of the room, and you couldn't see anything, and you lit one candle. If you lit that one candle, the room would start to illuminate, and you'd be able to see that light. And literally, that's what God's saying to you. As you walk through a dark world, that candle of light within you shows the light of Christ, overcoming darkness everywhere you go. And you stand there, and you light your candle in this dark room, and the one next to you lights their candle, and the one next to them lights their candle, and pretty soon, there's all sorts of light in this room. That's what God's telling you this morning. We have no business stumbling around the dark, that we overcome dark as we carry the light of God with us. You're the light of the world. You carry the light of Christ, and you shine in God's truth on your life, letting other God see God's light and glory in you. Not by your works, not by your deeds, but by the finished work of Christ in you, shining through those deeds and those things that you're doing. If we choose to walk in the light as he is in the light, how much more will God do in your life? And if you think about, if you think about Proverbs 4:19 said men stumble in the dark. They don't know where they're going, they're stumbling around. How much more than Proverbs 4:18, one of my favorite verses in the Word of God. You've heard me say it for years, the path of the righteous is like the first gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter to the full light of day. The path of the righteous, your walk with God, as you're walking down your path, is like that first light of gleam of dawn. You get up in the morning, and there begins to be a little bit of dawn. If you ever watch a sunrise, it's beautiful. And you see this light start to overcome darkness. But your path is like that first light that gets brighter and brighter until the full light of day. And I've told you for years, my confession is because I plan on reading the Word of God, because I plan on following God, because I plan on drawing closer to God, my best days are yet to come. And I hope that's your confession as well by now. As you follow God, as you walk in the light, it's like the light gets brighter and brighter until it's the fullest of the day, the brightest it's going to be. That's what God wants for you. If you follow God, your best days are yet to come. Now in this lost and dark world where men and women are stumbling around the dark, hungering for the truth, you, O salty one, leave a light on. Leave a light on. Don't hide your light. In your life, in your family, in your work, in your church, in your relationships, don't put your light under a bushel. Leave a light on. We were struck by this video we saw this morning of Addison Road. And these people literally said, I'm going to take a candle as you watch the video. And I'm, wherever I go, I'm going to have this candle. It's going to be the light of Christ. I'm going to do that. We have candles in the back for you this morning. Each of you take a candle with you. And keep it with you. Put it in your purse. Men, stick it in your pocket or in the dashboard. Take it with you for a week. I'm serious. And realize as you navigate through life, where have you hidden your candle? What if you carried a candle for a week or a month? What if we carried that candle with you everywhere and looked at it before every conversation, before every action, and before every thought? This is the light of God in me. It's supposed to shine so others see the glory of God in my life, reflecting Him in my life. Light is truth. Light invites. Light reveals God in you. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. How about you? Let's stand and worship God this morning.
You guys can guess what song we're going to do. We're not going to have any words up there. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Let it shine, let it shine, let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Don't let Satan it out. I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm gonna let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. Let it shine. This little light. This little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. Oh, this little light of mine. I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine, 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 let it shine.
Amen. 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 Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day, and we thank you for this light that you've given with us, and help us to understand that light that shines within us. Literally, the light of Jesus Christ. Darkness can't overcome it. Darkness can't stop it. We have the power of God living within us. Help us, Father, to live our lives, realizing where we've hidden our candle and refusing to continue to do that. To live our lives giving you the glory. People see God in us in every situation. Father, we can't do that on our own. We won't do it on our own. We need you. We need your help. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your light. Thank you for taking us out of the darkness and putting us in the light. Now as your people go, may your angels encamp about them and protect them and keep them in all they do. May your grace rest upon them. May your truth live within them. May your light shine through them as you are their provision and all they need. In Jesus' name. Have a blessed week. If you need prayer, please feel free to come forward.
To come.